nine years ago when we recorded, you got in trouble for recording that day.
How'd you know that?
You probably listened to it.
I listened to it.
Of course.
It was you and me, and at one point, Isabella came in with a message from your wife saying that you were in trouble.
You and me, me and you. I forgot what episode number this is. That's terrible, isn't it?
She said that you weren't supposed to be podcasting that day.
Naughty, naughty.
Oh dear, how sad. I got fluff on my microphone.
With the alpha, honestly.
Hello.
Oh, Mary, sorry. I got confused because the muffled Kirby led me to believe that you weren't going to be on, whereas Kirsty Bissett has been raiding Reese's book. Raiding Reese's book for excuses to not be on. And I think Reese may be sending a lawsuit over to Kirsty. In due course, 505.
Copyright infringement for the book. Yeah.
Well, Kirsty did say that future appearances on this were unlikely.
Yeah. Now, honestly, Reese has been there before. There's nothing new he has written that hasn't already been in his previous books that anybody can actually bring up as a brand new excuse. Kirsty is.
I bet we ladies probably can.
Kirsty is clutching at straws. I would challenge her any day to come up with an excuse that isn't in Reese's repertoire. Steve, right then.
I'm sure
what's the episode? What are we reviewing? Oh, yeah, it's Runaway Bride, wasn't it? Runaway Bride.
Wasn't that a movie starring Julia Roberts?
Yeah, I know. Every time I try to. Search something about it. It offered that one.
Might do
Go away.
Right, I'm hoping this video feed will come up and I can. So everybody's here now, aren't they? Apart from Ben, who might be a bit late. Right, according to Facebook, I have a video running.
Ooh.
But it's not showing much at the moment. Oh, because I'm down the bottom of the page. There I am. Don't know whether to brighten up a bit, actually. No, I won't. I'll leave me looking dark. I think it'll look better in the dark. Okay, right. So I can nearly get ready now. I can find my phone. Where'd I put that? Where'd I put my phone? I've got to turn off Bluetooth. Oh, there it is. Anyway. What?
Yeah, you're going to enjoy this because I can't watch along.
Hurrah! Might get through some of it a little bit.
Well, that means a little less interruption. I mean, hold it.
I'm trying to bring up HBO Max on a tablet.
Oh dear, how sad. Right, I'm going to get going now. So hopefully the viewers will have realised we haven't actually properly started yet, but we are going to properly start. Oh, hang on, get me jingles folder open. Priority jingles. Right.
Jingle all the way.
Priority jingles. Come on, load up.
Jingles.
Jingles.
Boy, you guys are so muffled.
Yes,
you are.
Ditto. This is Daphne Ashbrook, and you are listening to 20 Megabyte Podcast. Don't miss it.
Daphne, it's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Let's see if... Let's see if Fraser can get it right.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Well done, Fraser. Although there was a little bit of a sort of hesitation there, wasn't there? Jessica, what about you, Jessica? Can you get it right?
Hi, this is Jessica Martin, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
No hesitation whatsoever. She's a professional. What about Nabil? Nabil, what do you reckon?
This is Nabil Shaban, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, that was okay, but there was a bit of a delay between the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast and the Sill laugh. What do you reckon about?
Jessica got it right, though. Yes.
Peter Davison, let's see how you can go on.
This is Peter Davison, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Perfect.
There you go.
Perfect. See,
do you want to hear me do it?
Hang on, Colin Baker wants to have a go. Go on, Colin.
Hello there. This is Colin Baker, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And doesn't make... I'll do it again.
Oh, dear.
I like that one.
I want to hear yours. Do it.
Mine? I'll do it every week. What?
Robert.
Mine. Hello, Robert. This is Nobody in Particular, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Nobody in Particular. you're rather nicking this bloke.
I'm a McGann, but probably not the one you're expecting. And you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
It's the 20 Megabyte Doctor.
It's the 20.
Thank you, Mr. McGann.
Yeah, but he's doing an accent, wasn't he?
About this, let's see how one of the best audio novel readers in Britain can
I
do
hope
it.
You're recording
Hello,
this.
Hello, my name is Sophie Aldred, and you, yes you, are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes. Sylvester, what about you?
This is Sylvester Mackay, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hesitation. I'm so sorry. Well, Toby Whithouse.
This is Toby Whithouse, and laptop. You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Even Toby Whithouse can go right.
Each other.
Yeah.
See, you can see the professionals and the lack of, can't we? don't think so. Oh, Ellis George. I mean, don't hear much from her, do we?
My name's Ellis George, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
See, even she can do it. Not too sure about Caitlin Blackwood.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Blackwood, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, wasn't too bad, was it?
She did it well.
Yeah, not too bad, no. Andrew.
This is Andrew Cartmell, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
There was a smidge of a pause there, Andrew, to be fair.
Oh, goodness
Pausing
me.
For breath, maybe? I don't know, but there was a bit of a pause there. Anyway, right.
I don't give a toss about your stupid bloody podcast.
Oh, fair enough. right, let's get on with the show.
You were doing one with friend of the show, Toby Haydock.
Toby Haydock, Coronation Street star supreme. Yes, indeed.
Hello, my name's Toby Haydock, which will probably excite and annoy in equal measure. You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Continue so to do.
Mind you, we did another one.
This is Toby Haydock, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, missed the beginning bit. Oh, for God's sake. Right, I'm giving up. Oh, hang on, what about this one? Hang on, one more.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson.
She can't even get her name right. Oh, dear. Right then, let's move on. Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 505. I'm Adam, and there goes the Isle of Wight. And here's Debbie Melrose.
The bride is so feisty.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
With this ring, Ivy Biodamp.
Mary Lang.
What?
I said Mary Lang.
What?
Mary Lang.
What?
Robert Haynes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
And you know, Adam, you said it wrong. It says, I think that's the
Oh, be quiet. Right, where's my priority jingle?
Don't you
dare
him.
Right.
Oh.
Right, yes, this week. We're back. It's
a ding.
It's the dawn of autumn. Well, it's still summer, but the dawn of autumn. We're in September now.
Anybody
who's listening to back episodes of this show, we've sort of given up on summer because it never really happened. And it doesn't look like this is ever going to happen after last year when we were locked down in our gardens and it was blazingly hot and stuff, but not this year, sadly. Unless, of course, you live in areas of the world where global warming is causing all sorts of weird fires. So, yes, Ben might be joining us later. He was doing some daddy stuff, and he did assure me that he would be piping me little messages through.
Ooh, daddy stuff. What does that include?
Daddy, as in dropping his daughter off. And Oh. That's just an indication that Kirby's normal service will resume very shortly indeed. Okay, right, so Runaway Bride. Oh,
what
unfortunately.
The hell was that?
That's Kirby's theme tune. You're not here. You haven't been on the show for a while, have you, Robert?
I think I jumped about 50 feet.
That's Kirby's theme tune. He's got a couple of theme tunes, actually. We'll play the other one if he gets naughty. Right, which is actually fairly bound to happen, to be honest with you. I don't actually want it to happen, but anyway. Right, remind me later, because I wanted to discuss a new film that we watched last night in the cinema called something about rings. Very good film.
Shang-Chi and the Seven Rings or something.
Ten rings. I remember that. I remember them out of rings, and there were rings in it, and there were no lords of in the film.
Sonic and the Secret Rings?
Sonic? Oh, yeah.
The Hedgehog.
Oh. Very good, Robert.
A Wii game.
Can you recoup that?
You want to go for a Wii game? Well, go on then. If I prefer
a
you did
Wii
before,
game.
Well, go on then if you want to, just before we get really going in the show. I'm trying to get this thing started quickly before Kirby, in that gap between Kirby being on his phone and being on his rebooting computer, so he can actually get a good way through the episode.
You've got about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's what.
Right. Yeah, we
so
could
good.
Do the episode in 10 minutes if I could find
that's
it. My Apple,
the internet is.
Apple doodah thingy. I'm trying to find Apple TV where I got up to.
I'm actually able to key in my PIN to log in now. Now it just needs to do a few okay. more things.
And what is that PIN?
Don't be rude.
Kirby Hot Stud 1799.
superb, Robert. All right then. So, Runaway Bride begins with a sort of flight into a part of London from Wales, very
Master.
Similar to. Oh, Jesus!
This is now the third time that RTD has done this. This start from orbit and go in.
But it's such it's a good shot.
Well, they obviously yeah. forked out a load of money on it, so might as well use it, and it seems to be quite effective yeah, anyway. Sam,
he did it in Rose and in at least the first two Christmas specials.
It's marvellous. Thank you, Kirby, for that one. And we arrive at a wedding where Catherine Tate is just about walked down the aisle with her dad. I do love the noughties hairstyles that are in this episode. And just as she's getting ready to get married, she regenerates. No, no, she doesn't. Sorry, she gets evaporated almost.
Yeah, almost. It sure looks like Artron energy.
Yes.
But it's Huon energy.
They use those sparkly things for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, they do. They're good. They're all round sparklies.
Yes, and they use them in Merlin a lot as well. So I just like
yes.
that. Anyway, the Doctor's still looking a little bit green than the girls as she arrives in the TARDIS to lots of watts. And
what?
Then she goes all Catherine Tate annoyed with Doctor mode, and you can see from you can see from this opening scene of the two of them together that there was automatically chemistry there, which would lead to obviously her coming
her
back to the series
permanently.
They really did. No offense to lovely Freema, but it's a really big shame that they didn't realise that. Early enough to have Donna there for season 3 and 4. Sorry, Kirby, I talked over, didn't I? Am I naughty?
Well, Donna,
you're allowed to do that.
I know.
Master. Anyway, they filmed that scene twice, 6 months apart, and
they
you
did.
Could actually see the differences because they filmed it for the end of the last series.
Yes.
And it's lit with the green.
Yes. I said that, though, but never mind.
They have a different director of photography.
I think they were a bit too
when they reshot it.
Yeah, I didn't really notice it. But I wasn't looking.
And she had a different hairstyle as well. But don't worry about it, Kirby. You will get over it.
Well, David Tennant mentions
the last
it in his commentary.
Yes.
Well, Catherine Tate was so popular at that time. She was so busy. She was doing films and TV appearances and her own show that not only would she not be available, but she was almost not available for this.
Yeah.
Right.
They weren't sure they could get her.
Right. Where did it get up to? I was watching Doctor Who, wasn't I?
When they snuck her in at the end of the previous series to make the one shot, they had to actually sneak her into Cardiff under a blanket, basically.
Right, let's move away from the How Catherine Tate Got Into Doctor Who podcast back to Runaway Bride. Anyway, so the Doctor, she tries running out of the TARDIS and walks into a supernova thing. And it's like they've known each other for ages, the way the Doctor is with her. He sort of sulks at her a little bit. She tries to phone her mum and can't get through, so the Doctor brings her to Earth and she sort of walks around the TARDIS and goes, what's going on here? Apparently it's bigger on the inside.
Yeah, I do too. Words are not necessary.
So the first few minutes of the program, her realising she wants to get back to the church. I'm surprised the Doctor couldn't actually take her to the church a few seconds after she was taken, because there was the thing, you can't cross your own timeline. But if she's taken out of her own timeline, surely he could drop her back in a few moments later, because nobody would have realised. She certainly wouldn't have met her. What?
It's a science fiction fantasy TV drama.
No, it doesn't work on that particular
instance. I think even the Doctor was not sure, why he couldn't take her back. He seemed just as confused as to why he didn't.
He's probably a bit worried about that weird regeneration energy that they renamed for this episode. Anyway, all hell's breaking loose within the church, because they were wondering where Donna's got to. Donna tries to get a taxi, but the Doctor realises there's some very strange-looking Santas. Creepy Santas that we may have seen before.
Creepy Santas.
Sorry.
One for my tree.
I thought Robert was trying to tell me something.
I was saying a taxi. Wasn't that another episode?
Yes.
Master, they're also redesigned Santas. They've got slightly different faces from the last time.
And slightly different trombones as well. Is that right?
Yeah, the last lot got blown up.
Uber.
Anyway, so Donna gets in this cab, but sadly for her, the cab is being driven by Creepy Santas. This is rather obviously a little bit of a throwback to the Auton episode, isn't it? When Terror of the Autons, when they were in
Terror of the Autons.
You remember the episode when they were in the cab or the car, and there was an Auton. Wasn't Rose? Did I say Terror of the Autons? I said Terror of the Autons.
Terror of the Autons. That's the place you mean.
The one in Terror of the Autons where they were in the car and they didn't realise they were being driven by an Auton until they pulled the mask.
That was the place, though. They thought.
Tinker's cuss whether it's a place. It's what the blooming now are throwing it. But right, that is it.
There was a good stunt in that as well.
Beg
Did
your
you
pardon?
See the guy when he got hit by the car.
Right, that's it.
Okay. Something really interesting there, Adam.
No, it wasn't. Right then, anyway, so exactly the same thing happens. She pulls the mask and a robot-y type thing is revealed, just like that episode.
Santa is a robot.
That scene in Terror of the Autons. When,
real.
So the Doctor, meanwhile, stages a very cool scene where he flies the TARDIS along the motorway to try and catch up.
Oh, that's brilliant. And the kid in the car.
Yeah. It's a bit silly to a certain degree, but it is very exciting and lovely to see
saw that, I didn't like it. Now I love it.
Well, I love it anyway. And, of course, it's a similar scene where he's trying to get Donna to jump and stuff, but it reminds me a little bit of the scene, because they're looking for a window in Partners in Crime when they're sort of miming to each other.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. I love that bit.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Didn't she say something like that? You're kidding me, or something like that? As the TARDIS is. Yeah, that was nearly going to be my quote. So I just sort of want to try one of Kobe's lines. That was nearly going to be my quote. Is that right? Anyway, to cut a long story short. Sorry about that weird hiss, which is annoying. The hiss is because there's something wrong with my Belkin, so I'm going to change it.
Is anyone else having trouble hearing him?
That sounds worse.
Shush. No, I'm explaining.
It's outside.
Right.
It's
a hiss. It's an electronic hiss. Right. You've got to be disconnected. It won't hurt. I told you it wouldn't hurt. This is me doing online technical jiggery pokery. And I'm going to plug this one in. Right, hopefully that will work.
Outside wind.
Oh, it's still blooming hissing. What's going on? No, we've got issues with analog connectors. These are analog connectors to a digital. Yes.
These digital connectors are tough.
Makes for riveting podcasting.
Ben. Why is it doing this, Ben? I don't know why it's making these hissing noises.
As soon as you put Ben on.
Yeah.
No.
It happened as soon as you put Ben on.
Ben, are you hissing?
Sounds like my tinnitus.
I've just turned my fans off, actually. I don't mean the physical ones. I mean the.
He sounds like a sauna somewhere or something.
Isn't he?
I cannot hear him.
Oh, hang on. Because of all that, I've missed about 10 minutes of the episode, so I'm going to skip back to. Oh yeah, so we're in the.
Ben sounds like motion. He's on the space station.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kirby sounds like he's in a submarine underwater.
I was having trouble.
Yeah, I've got to watch out for the Ice Warriors down here, though.
I was having trouble during setup that when I plugged the phono cable in, it just went...
Phono?
And it stopped, but it seems to have started back up again.
Mm-hmm. I've worked out why I'm not sounding very good.
Why?
Hold on.
Oh, I'm hoping it is you that's causing this issue, Ben, because I'm getting very...
When you tried to sneak Ben on, and unfortunately we all found out.
I didn't sneak him on.
I snuck myself on.
Oh, that's better.
Sorry, I hadn't plugged in the old Scarlett SI2 focus.
Trouble with that is I went to all that trouble of disconnecting my other Belkin and putting this Belkin in for no Belkin reason. Right there, hello, Ben.
Oh, Belkin out.
That's a good new swear, I like that. Oh, Belkin.
Right, so we're just up to the bit.
That's actually much more acceptable than cooking, isn't it?
Did you didn't want to do a quote for this episode, did you, Ben?
Did I want to do a quote?
Do a quote, yeah.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Go on, then.
I have learned to cope, and love and hope is why I am here now. Abba are back!
Yay! Oh, ow! Hit that too hard.
I know, I've been listening to their music.
Isn't it cool? So many people hate it, but I think it's so Abba.
It is. I tell you what.
I love ABBA, and while you were buying tickets today, my goddaughter was getting hers.
I certainly won't be buying tickets. I must admit, can't afford that sort of thing. Well, I'm delighted that I've been heard a couple of tunes. One of them, it's right because it's so recognisably ABBA, and it's charming and adorable, and I love it.
Both of the songs are absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm so happy because for however many years I wanted ABBA to come back, and then they announced they were a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and then. You know, on Thursday they announced released these two new songs, which are just absolutely smack it out of the park, fantastic. And it was always a bit, are they going to be rubbish? Which was stupid because it's ABBA.
No, exactly.
Benny and Bjorn are just geniuses.
Where are you seeing them, Ben? Where are you seeing this this amazing show?
In the new arena. Where? The new arena.
What arena?
Yeah, they're building an arena at the Olympic Park in London, a 3,000-seater arena just for their show because it's obviously on a big screen, basically. Yeah. But you know, all these people going, it's not ABBA, it is ABBA.
Yeah, it is ABBA.
They recorded it.
Yeah.
It's them doing it. They've just digitized them to make them look a bit younger, and so they basically can show it forever and ever and ever.
Yeah. And to link it to Doctor Who, they've got very space agey costumes.
Yes, and it's innovative too. So it's wonderful. The whole thing is just wonderful. It's something to cherish. I mean, it does remind a little bit. It's different in some ways because obviously when they did the Beatles thing with Free as a Bird and Real Love, that got scoffed at a lot, but obviously John Lennon didn't have much to say in it, but at least he sang the songs. And in the end, Real Love was covered, but this is proper ABBA. It's them. It's all four of them. It's ABBA. My God!
It is really, for any big music fan like myself, this is some sort of dream that you thought would never, ever happen. It literally was either ABBA or the Beatles to get back together.
Obviously, get the Beatles,
bit tricky for the Beatles to do that now.
Mm. And for me, it's nice because they did this in the week we lost Charlie Watts. And it's just balanced things out beautifully. So well done.
Anyway, I have to just get that message because I'm so happy. I'm so... Seriously, I've been in tears this week with ABBA. It's ridiculous. I've been so happy.
So if I told you that they're going to be managed by Stephen Moffat, that might put a bit of a dampener on it.
After I just spent nearly £600 on tickets earlier, you could...
How many tickets did you buy for £600?
Eight.
What the hell?
I bought them for all of my family.
Oh.
Who are going to mother and pay me back for them.
Yeah. Brilliant. Oh, that's lovely.
Can I be part of your family?
Yeah, me too.
I'd love you to all be part of my family, but I have my own family who have already snaffled the tickets and would probably punch me quite hard in the face if I told them they couldn't go.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Anyway, moving back to...
You always knew that they were coming back because they're spelled the same backwards.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Yeah, back to Doctor Who.
Yeah, I don't think I've never said let's not talk about ABBA anymore before, but after that, move back to Doctor Who.
I'm really excited to see him.
I might throw the odd ABBA quote.
I'll tell you what, again, before we move away from ABBA and back to Doctor Who, I was quite astounded as to how good they sound in, vocally. Because they're quite in their mid-70s, and a lot of people lose their voice. I know Tom Jones hasn't, but a lot of people do lose their voice. I thought Frieda, of all of them, would lose a voice a bit, but no.
Frieda's 74, Anna Freed's 80... No, sorry, Anna Freed's 74, and Agnetha's 71 now. So, and do you know what? I was talking about this with my 14-year-old earlier, about just how their voices just still sound absolutely fantastic.
It's the harmonies, it's the ABBA sound, isn't it? Amazing.
Just, Benny and Bjorn are geniuses.
They are.
But the thing is, they recorded these songs on the same microphones as they recorded their classic stuff in the 70s, which is why it sounds the same.
Anyway,
back and to also, Doctor. They're flipping amazing.
Back to Doctor. Anyway, so that as we were trying to say, he manages to persuade Donna.
Did I distract with my coming in then? Did I distract?
We were already distracted. I was distracted by the strange windy noise, and I wasn't talking about what was coming out of my trousers. It was something that was coming through the microphone thing.
It was the windy noise when you were
right. Rabbit hole there.
Yes. So anyway, Donna jumps into the TARDIS, onto the TARDIS, trusts the Doctor, and the Doctor gives her a little jacket. Because this is what, at most weddings, a bride will have a jacket on them at some point when they get a bit cold. We hear the story of Donna, how she met Lance at Clements, or whatever it's called.
Master?
No, it's Clements. Master, that's next series. What are you on about?
Isn't it amazing how green London is at Christmas time?
Shut up!
It's not fake snow. It never snows at Christmas.
Yeah, we don't get snow until February.
Everybody has a winter, everything, British Christmas, there's snow. It's like, no, there isn't.
No. That episode of Doctor Who was the most entirely accurate thing about Christmas you've ever seen about this country. It doesn't snow. It's just wet, dank and muddy.
No, that's never going to snow again. The way things are.
Very, very green.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. What I got up to? Oh, yeah, so they eventually end up at the wedding, where there's a few looks of suspicion and cuddles and what have you. The Doctor is sort of watching everybody very closely. And there's the Welsh chap who was a videographer there. He was in something there. Oh, he wasn't in My Family with that chap that was Citizen Smith. It was Lord Robert Lindsay. I was trying to think where I'd seen him.
In Your Family?
Power to the people!
No, he was with Robert Lindsay in My Family. The TV series, My Family.
Yeah?
Oh, not Your Family?
Not My Family, no, the theory.
Not Your Family?
Adam, are you saying that Robert Lindsay used to live with your family? he was a photographer. Have I picked up the wrong bit here?
No, videographer. Get your words. Good grief.
I love the way that's the bit you picked up on.
Right. What's going on here?
Weird noises. I don't like it.
Weird noises. I've got a twitchy elbow. Right, anyway, back to Doctor Who. So, the Doctor then is shown the bit where Donna gets regenerated up to the TARDIS on the video. And then he realises that, given her that little ring, because we forgot to mention, he gave her a little, this ring. And what was the special about the ring, Kirby?
It was a bio damper. It was supposed to hide her, and it didn't.
No, I didn't want that part of it. I just wanted what he called it, as a dampener thing.
Bio dampener.
Anyway, it didn't work because it was ancient stuff, a bit older than
time.
Yeah. But he did have the creepy Santa did have a remote control, which is very similar to my Dalek remote control. Funny enough.
Yeah, that's bigger. What I thought it was actually.
Yeah.
Just a bit repurposed.
And they're just quietly playing with one while they're waiting for.
Yes, of course. The Doctor realises they need to get away from the Christmas tree because the Christmas trees kill. But I was half expecting the Christmas tree to start spinning around, but all it did was.
I'm spinning around. Move out of my way.
Are you? I wouldn't do that at the moment. Just in case you knocked anything around. In case you knocked anything over in your shed. Anyway, Brandon Moore says, "Sorry, I'm late. Just had to pop to the shops to try some new flavour Pringles."
Ooh, lovely.
And then,
new
excuse.
And then before that, he said,
to shop to test that, what flavour Pringles they need. They open all the tubes and eat them. And, I like those.
And after that, he said, has Kirby been converted into a Cyberman? No, that's what we hope will happen, but it hasn't happened yet. Right.
He's just wearing cotton wool over his mouth while he talks.
We tried to muffle him, it didn't work.
Mm. Anyway, the Doctor uses a sonic screwdriver and a PA system to blast all the creepy
production
Santas.
Associate.
And
yes.
Then we see that they're being watched from above by Sarah Parrish in a spider costume. And at this stage, Lance is following around, but we have no inkling that he is what he is. And
he's got to be the way he acts.
I suppose he is.
He's screaming, creepy, and weird.
So wet.
And they find the Doctor discovers that there's a basement in this Clements building.
Master.
And they go downstairs where it's all green and it's the Millennium Stadium again.
Yes, Master.
Slightly differently
Master.
Lit.
Here, Master.
Yes.
Will you listen to Kirby, please?
I am listening to him if he let me listen to him. I said yes. Yes.
Yes.
Today be nice, Kirby.
You keep dropping out because my connection.
It's your connection.
It's your connection. We're all here.
Can you submerge Kirby?
Stop shutting him up. Has he dropped out?
I think he did.
Well, that definitely deserves one of these.
I'm waiting until I can actually say something.
I was waiting for you to say something.
There is a missing. There's a deleted scene between the wedding and H.C. Clements that they actually filmed twice, but they cut it anyway. Where Donna is driving her car, which happens to be a smart car, with David Tennant in the back seat. It's actually in the deleted scenes on the DVD. It's actually funny, and they had two different smart cars, one of which was pink.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, Kirby.
That
was that it?
I don't remember that.
That was good.
It was a big build-up for one of these.
It was big. Oh, okay.
It's definitely worth it, yeah.
Where do we go? Anyway, so they're in the Millennium Stadium.
Hold on, Adam. I need to ask Kirby whether he's got his scuba gear on, because it's...
He's got his Scooby-Dooby-Doo gear. Anyway, so... Yeah, so they've lit up the Millennium Stadium. What they call it? So when you go down and get in stadiums when you buy your drinks and stuff, concourse, isn't it?
Concourse,
green.
Mate,
yeah.
Concorde.
Concourse.
Concourse.
You didn't realise you got a free flight as well.
And they have a rather pointless drive around on these Segway things, just because they managed to get them.
Yeah, that is brilliant. Actually, I love that.
And they descend further still into.
Must be of waters of Mars.
And they realise they're in the Thames flood barrier thingy, which is nowhere near where they were just a minute ago. So that was quite interesting.
Forgot to mention
that this place, this where they've gone to, is a secret place that was owned by the Torchwood Institute. And the Doctor finds the stuff that Don has been being fed by Lance to. I can't remember what the point of it was.
The point is Russell T. Davies is really promoting his new series.
What, Torchwood?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Anyway, this stuff that they're feeding it. What's it supposed to do? I couldn't get my head around that bit. Was it to attract the Rachnos thingy or
what they were feeding? So.
Pardon?
I think so. I'm not quite sure.
And then
this is one of those RTD things.
I was kind of hoping you'd explain that to me.
Yes.
But, fair enough.
I would if I could.
Hang on, Mary might have an idea.
Yes, it's a Christmas episode. Nothing needs explaining.
Yeah. I thought it was quite cool that the web thing was looked like a star, and that I thought Sarah Parrish's costume was really cool.
I'm not allowed to have the statuette of that I've got because it freaks Tom and Ina out. Statuette of the Queen.
I haven't had your Christmas present for a few weeks.
What the hell? It looks like a giant. To them, when you just see it on the shelf, it looks like a giant spider, and they don't like it. Tom has a phobia of stations, and Isla's terrified of spiders.
Mission accomplished, then, for the designers. So well done. That's, of course, also a bit like a crab to me.
Yeah, exactly. They're absolutely, they hate it. They don't like me having that on my, with my display, so that's in with all my stuff that I can't get.
So anyway, they're being sort of held captive by the Arachnos, and then Lance creeps up on the Arachnos with an axe, but of course it's all a big laugh because they're all in it together.
Lance, so funny.
Yes. And the doctor together, summons the TARDIS.
I remember when my girls liked High School Musical.
So do I, mate.
So do I, funny enough. Yes, that was. They still liked Zac Efron, though. So then the doctor takes Donna back to the beginnings of the Earth, because apparently it was the little star thing that the Arachnos star webby doodah thing that created the Earth in the first place.
And we see the Isle of Wight go by.
Yeah, you see the Isle of Wight go by, which is my quote. And then they go back to the Millennium Stadium stroke, what they call that place, the Thames Flood Barrier. And somewhere along the line, the children are hungry. So Lance becomes dinner. And, of course, the star flies above London and the kids love it. It's Christmas.
You know what I wanted to see? I wanted to see the spiders like come out that tunnel.
You did. That would have been creepy, like they did in that brilliant 13th Doctor story. What was that one called?
That brilliant one about the spiders that got locked in that room.
Which CGI spiders were great, but maybe they should have used that in this story.
Washed back, you know, by the water. Yeah.
Anyways, people start getting zapped, and the doctor, he's actually managed to trap the Arachnos, gives us a chance to say to go away and find another planet with his help. She says no, so he decides to almost like commit genocide and kill every single one of the little baby spiders. And of course, Donna says, "You can stop now."
For some reason, you're on my phone directly instead of on my Bluetooth.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay. Nothing to do with me. But I'm just here rambling.
Yeah.
So the doctor loses the plot just rambling? A few seconds. He goes a bit war doctory because
he needs
Donna to control him, or as we sort of later find out, a companion to keep to rein him in a little bit.
Yeah, make him
Yes.
But at the end of the episode, all's all right. But. Donna decides not to travel with the doctor because she's like you say, Catherine Tate's got lots of serious.
Oh, you missed a bit when the guy in the tank says orders from Mr. Saxon.
Yeah, I've missed that bit. Thank you for pointing that out, Robert. Robert,
be waiting for that.
Robert,
yes,
I can't hear you guys at all.
Oh, geez.
Sorry.
Stop talking over Robert's ding. Robert. Robert.
I'm waiting. Whoa, my first ding.
No, it isn't. You had one earlier this episode. And if you can't remember the blimmin' dings I'll give you, I'm sorry, you're going to get one of these. Right.
Okay, another one.
To add on to the next good time we do the quiz. So
he gives and he takes away.
I know.
So anyway, the doctor does a couple of stupid things during this last scene, as he's saying a very long goodbye to Donna. One, he finds a little button at the top of the TARDIS thingy, which makes it snow. Rather pointlessly. And the other one, he has this way of miraculously making it snow even more.
And that was convenient, wasn't it?
Yes. But when I watched it on the iPlayer, because straight after that scene, there's the what's coming up in the next series clips. On the iPlayer, that clip is edited out. It just goes straight to the titles. Which I was quite disappointed, actually.
Yeah, I noticed that.
When I watched it on the iPlayer, there were no attractions.
So anyway, that's the episode. I'm just going to say that it was just a bit of Christmassy fun, quite a good story. The music was fantastic. Lovely to see Catherine Tate in a character that we would grow to love, despite what happened when she got cast as the companion.
Yeah, the hate.
From watching this, we could have gleaned, or they could have gleaned, the people that moaned about it, that she was going to be fantastic, and the screen chemistry, and the fact that they weren't going to have a romance, they were going to have a matey sort of relationship, which we'll have a discussion about it later on.
Do I sound any better?
Yes.
That's a question. That's probably the question of the year from Kirby. Does he sound any better? I thought you said Kirby, I thought you said you couldn't hear us.
I couldn't. I was trying a different device. I was trying a different device, and my Bluetooth headphone went completely out.
Yes, you just reminded me. I need to turn my Bluetooth off
now,
on my phone.
Now I'm still on my phone, but I'm on a different Bluetooth.
Submerged.
Call this episode the Travails of Kirby's.
Yes, it reminds me a little bit when I was podcasting while driving to Brighton a couple of years ago. That was an episode and a half, wasn't it? Things I do to do podcasting. Right then. So anyway, back to what I thought of it. It's okay. It's good fun Christmas romp, I think, really. And there's been worse ones and worse ones with David Tennant in it. But there's been a couple of extremely bad ones. There's some rather silly bits in it, to be fair. And I do get a bit fed up with every time there's a Doctor Who Christmas special, it has to snow. But apart from that, it was pretty good. What did you think about it, Ben?
As you kind of said there, it's there are better ones, there are worse ones, as in Christmas specials. It was a fun Christmas romp. There was nothing offensive about it. There was nothing massively brilliant about it, apart from obviously the fact that we got to meet Donna. And it was just such a shame that at the end of this episode she went away and we'd never see her again.
I know.
I think why didn't they bring her back in like series 4 or something to be the I don't know, just
they should have brought her back to be the Doctor for the
maybe they could have done some sort of Dr. Donna arc. I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. This is just coming straight off the top. It was good enough. It was a fun Christmas one. I remember watching it on Christmas Day and just thinking, yeah, it's good to have Doctor Who on at Christmas. And it was a fun episode. And Donna was brilliant. And so glad she came back because, she's fantastic, Catherine Tate.
Thank you. What do you think about it, Debbie?
Can't really change anything else. It's a good romp. It was perfect for Christmas. Absolutely perfect. Hate the fact that it has to snow. I don't get that. It should just be raining and everybody running about with brollies going, why didn't I take the presents around in the car? You know, that sort of thing. And that's Christmas, really. But I like the hints at what's coming. The chemistry is brilliant. The music is fantastic. And I just love Donna. I love Donna. Her and Tennant together are just fantastic just throughout this whole episode. And then obviously you know what's coming and with their arc and everything. And she's my favourite. She's been my absolute favourite companion in the whole of Doctor Who since it's come back. And just sublime acting and fun, very silly story, but good fun. Enjoy it.
Thank you, Debbie.
So she was your favorite companion before she became a companion. So during the Rose period, she was.
Oh, come on.
Is he being awkward, Debbie?
She was a companion in this episode. So therefore, she was a companion before she was a companion.
Yeah, because she travelled in the TARDIS, etc., etc. A few times in this episode.
She's technically a companion, like a Bond girl that just turns up for 5 seconds of fun with Bond is technically a Bond girl.
Yeah, that's true.
Right then, so thank you, Debbie. What do you think about it then, Robert? Robert?
Yes, sir?
What did you think about it?
I quite agree with Debbie with Donna as the companion. And I'm glad that she wasn't attracted to the Doctor, except for, like, as a friend. I love the thing about when she puts on the Doctor's jacket and complains about how skinny he is and it wouldn't fit a rat or something. I love that sort of banter and it continues on. And I'm just quite disappointed that we've got Martha to look forward to as the companion for the next series.
Yeah, but there's some cracking stories with her in, so that's something that can...
I know that's true. But yeah, it's, I just sort of...
Yeah, but we have to put up with a doctor going, oh, I miss Rose, I miss Rose.
Yeah. That was a bit irritating in this episode when she said, what's your friend called? She went, Rose.
Her name was Rose.
Yeah. Mm, then
back I hate all that crap.
don't mince your words, Robert.
Yeah, it's a fun episode. It's one of the better ones. It's just a shame that Chibnall can't give us stuff like that.
it's
very enjoyable, and I quite enjoyed sitting down to watch it.
Marvellous.
Was it the sitting down you enjoyed, or the watching you enjoyed?
Both.
So it's two for one, then. That's even better.
Exactly.
It's Kirby! What do you think of it, Kirby?
I wonder what that was leading to.
It's a fun story. I like it.
What?
Yeah, that was good. Then
that sums it up well, but a little bit of it's one extreme to the other, isn't it?
I've got issues in that I'm still battling my PC and able to concentrate.
But we can hear you. Brilliant. Well, Reese Partum, Book of Excuses, Volume 3. Yes.
I had all sorts of things to talk about during while we were discussing going through it.
Yeah.
The only 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Can you already do that?
Stop talking over him. Right, it's Debbie's fault. Debbie gets one of these.
Yeah, I got a few in, but not as many as I
you got a few
normally
in.
Would have.
Wanted to get more.
I don't know how we're going to get around that issue, actually. We might have already talked about it, Kirby, because you said you lost a bit of concentration while we were going through it. So we might have already mentioned it. Never know.
Mentioned what?
The things that you wanted to mention.
Pardon?
No, I was able to hear what you said.
Ah.
What
the heck is Windows doing here?
Yeah, well, it's Windows. You said it. That one word in a sentence sums everything up. Okay, right then. So that means, everybody, and it's wonderful, Kirby, very brief. So that means we can do this.
Yeah. Prepare yourself. It's Mary.
Well, what can I say? I mean, it's a Christmas episode, so it's like everything is suspended because this is for the audience that doesn't normally watch Doctor Who. You know, you've got your tried and true Doctor Who people who are enjoying any reference that's in there, and there's a ton of references to past episodes. But we've also got their families and people who are just looking for a Christmas Day good time. So that's what the story is aimed for, is not to, you know, fit in the canon and all that. So I might otherwise complain about it. Russell T. Davies sure doesn't mess around. He gets a lot of his story references in here. I mean, we got references to the Christmas invasion, to Boomtown with the Slitheens and the extrapolator. Yeah. We got Father's Day with his reluctance to go back on somebody's timeline. Mm. We've got him pushing Torchwood with all the the Torchwood references, trying to get people curious, I guess, to turn into his new series. And then he goes through that whole series of things with Donna, you know, that she doesn't remember for one reason or another. So it's
like
Doctor Who's greatest hits.
greatest what? Diving. Are we talking about blooming Nicholas Nawks again?
Ooh.
What?
Which, no more, by the way.
It isn't anymore.
Oh, I took it down a couple of months ago.
Oh, Ben.
Aww.
I'm sorry, in this modern day and age where people are highly offended by anything, it's best not to get involved in something that might offend someone.
Jimmy Carr builds a career on that.
I'm on this podcast every week swearing like a trooper. So.
Sorry, Nick. What's her name again? Sorry. Mary. Sorry. I nearly said Nicola. Sorry, Mary.
So we're getting Russell T. Davies' greatest hits. Is what we're getting for this episode. But, you know, some things like the segues, I mean, give me a break. That's a bit.
Yeah, pointless.
I generally think they found them on set and went, come on, we've got to get these
No, actually, they got a promotional offer by the Segway company who was trying to sell them. That they loaned them those, and the salesman, I guess, was working really hard to sell them to them as well. And David Tennant came real close to buying one, but that's all the reason that that's there, because they got them for free and they were having so much fun with them.
I saw no product placement.
The Empress of...
Ooh, that's a weird echo. Where's that coming from?
You know why? You know why it's happening?
Why is it happening?
I fixed things.
Oh God!
It sounds like you fixed it, Kirby. Well done,
Kirby. It's wibbly wobbly timey wimey wobbly timey wimey.
I'm now off of my phone one, so you should be able to hear it.
Do you know what that reminded me of? Where that sort of weird sort of loopy echo happened? It's like when Lance fell down that hole, and so everybody's talking, and all that is echoing down that big chasm that he'd fallen down.
It reminded me of the end of Peter Davison.
Yeah. Adric?
As Kirby was talking there, I saw Adric floating around.
Anyway, my sound should be better now.
It is much better now.
Yeah, much better. Yeah.
Right then. Sorry, Mary.
Go back to the beginning.
Right from the top, everybody.
No. Well, we were actually trying to listen to what Mary was talking about, to be fair. Nothing to do with me, Mary. I didn't interrupt you.
I did.
Two things I take exception to. One is the Empress of the Rachnos. I mean, I think her costume is great, but either it's how she was written or how she was coached, but she just is so overplayed that I cringed every time, you know, she had anything to say. I think she was done very badly. I don't blame the actress, you know, as much as I blame maybe the writers or who directed
this. Director, yeah.
I blame Stephen Moffat.
Why not?
One thing that made sense to me is why did they need humans filled with that Huon energy? I mean, they could have just shot that energy straight down there to unlock. But
Mary, it's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
Humans. And for a Christmas episode, it really ends pretty tragically. I mean, we know those all the babies. You know, it's my babies. She's being set on fire. She,
genocide.
You know, ship, but then they're blowing the ship up. It's like, oh my God.
You know what, Mary?
Definitely.
It's probably because RTD was in the torture type mode, and the torture stories were a bit
more hard-hitting.
Yeah, I thought it was for a Christmas episode.
Don't forget, there's nothing like a nice Christmas genocide.
Now, why didn't all the water in the world go down that hole?
You're right.
Because the fact that it flows one way in the southern hemisphere and the other way in the northern hemisphere cancels itself out.
It just filled up.
It's not a myth. What do you mean it's a myth?
Yes, it's a myth.
Hold on, we have an Australian on the line.
Yeah.
Robert.
I actually did that. When I went to Canada, I checked to see what way the water went down the drain.
Right.
As well as in Australia, and it, I think, goes down differently. Yeah.
Okay,
It does. Right, go and flush your toilet.
Yes.
Yeah, go and flush your lavvy. No, your billabong.
Dunny.
Dunny, that's the one. Go and flush your dunny and see which way the water goes. I'll go and flush my dunny and see. We've got to film this. We're going to prove the American wrong.
Anyway, can I just say, I'm moving away from the 20 megabyte vortex flowing podcast to she isn't done. I just wanted to point out, you were talking about why didn't all the water in the world fall down? That's because all the plastic in the oceans would have filled the hole and it would have stopped anyway.
Oh, that's very
Mary,
good.
Carry on.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Adam Pearson, eco warrior.
And all the dead bodies in the Thames.
And that.
And all the shoes and all the trolleys.
Yeah, and the Titanic would have gone in the hole as well.
Well, the only last thing I have to say is that one big thing that bothered me was the way the TARDIS took off at the end. it took off like a spaceship rather than going the way the TARDIS normally goes.
It was supposed to be a Christmas rocket, wasn't it?
You know, the general non-Who audience, they don't really care, but I want that TARDIS to disappear. I don't want it taken off like a spaceship.
The end bit was a bit silly, but I suppose. Yeah, no, if you watched it on Christmas Day with a few sherries.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah, but if you watched it on Christmas Day with a few sherries, you'd probably think it was quite acceptable.
I liked it.
There you go. Kirby liked it.
I'm not saying I didn't.
Yes, my darling.
The TARDIS took off.
What?
I said yes, my darling.
The way the TARDIS shot off like a ship.
Yes. 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 Yeah. That was another throwback. To... RPG doing a throwback to classic Who. Also, now I can actually.
I remember it going up like that before.
When did it go off like that?
Yeah. I'll find it later.
Good. Oh, but I don't remember it going up like that before.
Oh, it has.
It's on a crane or someone picked it up.
See, Robert agrees with me.
Yeah, look, I agree. Yeah.
And also, even David Tennant in the commentary mentions that, because remember, he was a pretty big Doctor Who fan.
Well, so I'm sorry.
I mean, remember Five Doctors, the way they all take off. They just go float up directly, don't they?
Anyway, Lillian Robbins said, sorry I'm late. I should mention that before I forget. It's all
what?
Right, Lillian.
She's late?
Yeah, she's late. That was ages ago, by the way. Two minutes ago.
We rushed to get on.
Maybe we were really rushing to get on. Since he said he was late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. We just discovered something here.
What?
Maybe we should have stumbled over.
When Lillian is late, that means she can't be critical of us when we're late.
Yeah.
That's very true.
That's right. She normally is.
We all have one brownie point.
Yes, indeed.
For now.
Yeah.
For now, yeah.
Yeah, just for now.
We'll see how it goes.
Where did we get up to? Mary, have you finished yet? Sorry.
Anyway.
Oh, it's Kirby.
I didn't know when the TARDIS took off like that in the past, because I don't remember it ever.
I will find it.
Five Doctors, the TARDIS just take up.
Yeah, but not quite like that, Robert. They flipped up. All five of them sort of weirdly departed, didn't they?
Yeah, they sort of disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, you can find it at your leisure.
I will find it at my leisure. Anyway, can I talk about the episode?
And when you find it, don't tell us.
Yes, you can talk about the episode. I don't know if Mary's finished yet, but of course you can talk about the episode.
Yes, I'm finished. Okay. Yeah, that for mostly it was very entertaining, but the amount of death at the end and the taking off of the TARDIS just left a sour taste in my mouth.
Okay, thank you. Right then, Kirby,
have a
go on.
Sherry.
Yes, a sherry.
Yeah.
Go on, Kirby.
I enjoy this one. It's not my absolute favorite Christmas special. It is close to the top. I mean, my favorite Christmas special is still the Christmas Invasion. Always has been. I mean, a lot of people like Christmas Carol. I don't like A Christmas Carol.
Did you do another review?
Why are you doing another review?
Yeah, he's remembered what he wanted to talk about earlier. That's fine. Carry on, Kirby.
Because I only had, I said, what, two sentences?
Oh, goodness.
Okay, I won't.
Oh, will you carry on? Who's in charge here? Get on and say what you need to say.
Well, if he gets a second review, I get one too.
I know. Kind of why, because I want to add, I didn't like the bit where you could see the TARDIS flying. I didn't
You're
like that.
Being really mean. I'm gonna, right, sorry. Everybody apart from Kirby gets one of these.
I'm done.
What?
Go on, Kirby.
I decided I'm done. I'm too... Never mind.
Oh, God.
Now he's sulking.
Well, that's your fault, that is. For once, it's not my fault, and I just want some... I want one of these.
I just wanted to know why he was doing another review.
Yeah, well, I explain?
I didn't tell you, but everyone's talking over everyone.
Allow me to explain. He didn't get a chance to say what he fully wanted to say about certain parts of the episode, so he's getting that opportunity now. Well, he's not saying anything, but he would have...
No, I'm
not. This is... Yeah. At this point, leaves appropriate pause for Kirby to speak. Maybe that pause was a bit too long.
Kirby, put your microphone back on and speak.
Okay, let's change the subject. Yes?
He said no.
Done.
You're done. Okay, right. So, Kirby, did you get any joy whatsoever with your appeal for feedback?
I'm getting there. Since I can finally bring up a browser.
Oh. I thought we had nothing, so my hopes have, were dashed, and now I'm feeling a bit...
I guess you missed it earlier that Brandon...
Yeah, message to say we'd had one.
Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah. And, okay, let's see what we have here. We have... Brandon, okay, Andy and Kirk. Oh, we have more.
No, don't mention anything about Ian Kirk.
We have, three. Wow. Well, two of, if you don't count Ian.
Right.
Brandon says, "Blimey, you can shout." The Runaway Bride by Russell T. Davies, or as he's known to his friends, Rusty. This is a good story, but not a great Christmas special. The idea for the plot originated as mid-series fare before being shunted towards Festivus when two Christmas specials were commissioned at once. God only knows why, as it's about as full of Christmas spirit as a reindeer in a slaughterhouse. That's not to say it's depressing or anything, just not suited to the time of year it was broadcast or shot. I don't remember there being a heat wave in December 06, but what do I know? However, I do appreciate that the motorway chase sequence, which is great, would not have had the same amount of money spent on it had it been a weekly episode. Donna is good. She can shout, and does so, a lot.
Yes.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Her obliviousness to the alien invasion is the most over-the-top part of her character. Other than that, I think she's fine. Not as great as she will become, however. David Tin Ant's star moves to the fore with Rose out of the way. The show now becoming more about the doctor than the companion.
Yay!
Hurrah!
Finding the lost Rose is okay for this one episode, but is way overplayed during the next season.
Series. That's because they'd already asked her to come back, and they were trying to keep her in mind.
There was also a deleted moment where Tin threw Rose's shirt out of the TARDIS doors, but was cut for being too aggressive. Also, because it would have looked silly. And, yeah, the Julie Gardner said it looked silly in the commentary. The Rachnos are a good concept, terribly executed, and easily the weakest part of the episode.
No, the Doctor did the execution bit, didn't he? He executed all the babies.
Presumably, the Empress chewed H.C. Clemens to death, much like she did Siri. The recycling of the pilot fish and deadly Christmas trees is just that, recycling.
Yes.
And they are not as effective as they were last year. Overall, this is a good story, but not a great Christmas outing for who? 7 out of 10. I remember at the time being so excited by the Coming Soon trailer for Series 3. This is the first time I was able to properly look forward to a whole series coming at once. I have a lot more memories to share about watching the series as it comes out. So I can't wait to start with Jadoon Platoon upon the moon.
Yes, you don't have to read what Ian says.
I wasn't. Okay, and Neil James, very, very short.
Is he? I've never met him.
The Runaway Bride. I think it's great fun. Highlights include the TARDIS car chase, the spider costume and makeup, the Love Don't Roam song, Donna's bosoms. I like it more with every rewatch. And I hope you all do, too. Cheerio. 4 stars out of 5. And if I may, for the third time, make commentary because I didn't have a chance.
Go on, then.
I like... Sarah Parrish, first of all, Sarah...
I think we must end this review of the episode there, I'm afraid.
She was...
He's a sneak reviewing, isn't he?
Leave him alone.
Want me to stop?
No!
Never!
Go on.
She was... That idea.
Sarah Parrish was a friend of David Tennant's and yes. wanted to be on the show.
Didn't he used to live with her?
I'm not sure. And so he pulled strings and got her in, and she really enjoyed being on the show, and she enjoyed doing it, and
departure from what she normally does, isn't it?
So the Rachnos is a bit over the top, but I like it, and I love how they did the CGI eyes.
Yes.
With all the
really
blinking
good.
Like that.
Absolutely, yeah, really good.
And she's a Christmas pantomime villain.
Yeah.
Very
good.
Oh, no,
she wasn't.
Yes, she was.
Oh, yes, she was.
Anyway, Lillian Robin said, sorry, mate, then.
Well done.
And after we had a grumble about Lillian moaning, saying about being late, she said, noted. Alan T. Butcher said, come on, Kirby, tell us, which she eventually did. And then he said, Kirby's review was one episode too short.
I've now done my review in three pieces, so there.
Yeah. About 15 pieces, actually, Kirby, if you listen back. Of course, nobody listens to this show, so nobody will ever...
Yes, will. I have.
Right, we're still doing feedback. Well, you can have a bit of a glass of Wayne with this one.
Well, good afternoon, 20 Megabytes, Andy Nunn here. It's 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, the 22nd of August. I know you're not recording to the 5th of September, but I've been getting things done in advance, so I've just watched The Runaway Bride and done some ironing and... yeah, Reese, I can't really think, Reese, that Donna would be that good with an iron, so I think I'll probably be better than her, as is. That was a Facebook post, and really means absolutely nothing to anybody else. However, Runaway Bride, it's a Christmas romp, isn't it? Let's be honest about it. There's quite a bit of humour in it, certainly with the interaction between the two main characters, a lot of humour there. I like the bit with them riding segways. very little wedding dress, I did think. I mean, my goodness. I mean, we've certainly seen quite a lot of cleavage on this new incarnation of Doctor Who. So, yes.
But, possible new anyway, page then, Ben.
My literous thoughts. I'm really impressed with the Doctor because certainly at the end, when he's in the under the barrier and he's soaking wet, he really has menacing looks and he just doesn't say anything, just totally still. It's not evil he exudes, it's menace. I think the two are different. But, you know, he really has got that face that he can just do things like that. That don't think any other doctor, possibly Capaldi, could do it. But just where, you know, he didn't have to say anything. He just did it. Story itself, not that brilliant, really, was it? You know, it's somebody's come, you know, with the centre of the Earth, there's a spaceship and she wants to get it back to the babies. I mean, that's gone back 4.6 billion years. I wonder why it's taken 4.6 billion years to come back. They never really explained that, did they? So I think there was not only a hole in the Earth, there was a hole in the plot. But I suppose it didn't really matter. And then you're getting a starship getting shot down by tanks. Yep. Yeah, I don't
think you've
got a thought. You've got a starship, you'd actually put the RAF up to it. You know, sort of a... They can probably get them a damn sight quicker anyway. And then, of course, you know, you're blowing a spaceship above a major city. It's going to go over, isn't it? But... yeah, I mean, the wedding bit that they're taking away with the particles. What I didn't get was that you're taking Lance 6 months of feeding a coffee to get her to do this, to turn into it, and yet it took about 2 minutes of the robots pouring water down him to get a feeling through it. So why didn't they just do that? Why didn't they just grab some poor innocent off the street, pour a liquid into them and do it that way? It just didn't quite stand
medicine,
up that bit. I mean, Lance a bit of a drip anyway. I mean, when was he contacted? You didn't really get any of his back history, and you know he was going to sacrifice the whole human race just to go out in space. Really? You're going to become the last human? Don't think so. I think you'd find it rather lonely. I mean, good God, I don't know about lonely. I mean, I spent the last 18 months sat in my kitchen working and not seeing anybody for hours and hours and hours. So to do that a lifetime, I think I'd go completely at the wall. Not, of course, that probably anybody would notice, would they? Hey, Catherine Tate, I think she's good. You know, I think, again, it's, you know, people were surprised. Catherine Tate, she's not really an actress, though, is she? It's a bit like when Billy Piper was announced. But then to the show, she does have a good repertoire. And she goes everything from the indignant, downright violent at times, to the, obviously, the very sad, you know, she thought she'd blown a wedding and then realised what's going on. But I think at the end, you know, when she knows the doctor isn't going to be part of the title, he's going to go, and will I see you again? Well, of course, we know that she
hint,
did.
Hint.
But yeah, it just shows that Catherine Tate does have a very wide range of acting skills. And, sure. I was, you know, she did prove that she could do it, I thought. And of course, not only do we have Torchwood, the Torchwood have gone bust or closed down. So, yeah, that I can't know how that got resolved. I'm sure he must have done, otherwise he wouldn't have the Torchwood series. And then, of course, you had Mr. Saxon says, fired on sight. Be seeing you.
Yes.
Cool. So does that mean that Mr. Saxon was the master was on the doctor's side?
I don't know. Possibly. Maybe they had a plan for the doctor. So that's why the doctor had to survive at that point, science fiction, fancy TV show. I don't know.
Right then, so we also have this. So if I can get this to work, that'd be great. Oh, Baran. Let's try this one.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. Hey, what's happening? An ancient spider creature arranged a wedding. Unbelievable. The Runaway Bride by Russell T. Davies. Who are you? What is this place? Oh, it's Adam and the 20 Megabyte Podcast. Now I can see how good Catherine Tate is in this story. When it was first shown, people were appalled that a TV comedian had been cast as a companion. How long has the Empress of the Arachnos been on Earth? She seems to appreciate English customs and humour. She's probably the only Arachnos who listened to the Goon Show. The Doctor kills all the aliens. He will later claim he does not do that kind of thing. This Doctor has a character arc. It is amusing that Donna missed the previous Christmas aliens through scuba diving or a hangover. A very enjoyable story. Did you know that 16 of the United States have names beginning with the letter M or N? That might keep Kirby quiet for a while.
Well, I already dealt with
Bye for now.
Excellent, thank you, Ian.
Oh, Kirby.
Oh. What, I've already dealt with it.
Have you dealt with it?
He's dealt with it, moved on.
Right, so that means I've sent a couple of bits of text out. Trouble is, I've forgotten who I sent them to. But I'm gonna. Well, I know Ben's got. Oh, you got one, did you, Deb? Okay. Debbie is now going to dictate some blurb. Oh, Debbie.
I didn't get one.
You didn't get one? Who just sent it to
us? It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
I received one.
I bet you did. But can we? Oh, sorry. Yes. Could you? Would you mind? Would you mind dictating the blurb you have, please, Mary?
All right. Dictating.
This one starts out with, "Hi, everybody. The Christmas Day Doctor Who story where it should be not New Year's Day." This one is written by RTD and Stephen Moffat. The Doctor has a visitor in the TARDIS whilst in mid-flight, much to the shock of the Doctor and herself. Oh, no, it's Catherine Tate, dressed as a Christmas cake. The internet idiots claim she's a terrible actor. She proved them wrong as Donna on the verge of marrying her fiancé, Lance. Is that Donna's dad? Donna ages him so much that he looks very different in a year's time. They missed her granddad off the guest list. He's probably too busy selling his papers to go to the wedding. The Doctor is still moping over the loss of Rose Tyler. This must be Christmas, and those are pilot fish. He learns that Donna is linked to an alien plot to destroy the planet Earth using a small army of robotic Santas once again. Have the BBC run out of alien costumes then? Oh, look, there goes the Isle of Wight. I'm sure I saw Adam waving.
I wasn't waving. That was a completely different gesture.
But so it was the one I was thinking.
So at the center of the Earth is a spaceship. At least it's not an egg with a space dragon inside it. Oops, spoilers. The Doctor and Donna fight to prevent the Empress of the Arachnos from destroying the world. So they emptied the Thames. It's tidal. They must have emptied the North Sea as well. He needs someone to stop him sometimes. Maybe a lovely lady doctor called Jones. Aww. Next time, Smith and Jones. Great. I like Mel and Griff. Sorry, some Americans may not get that one. Sorry. So sorry. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles. Now, what is the Mel and Griff reference? Oh, that's
they're comedians. Mel Smith and Griff Rhys-Jones. Yeah, they were a program back in the 80s. They started
Alas,
not the
Smith and
news.
Jones.
Alas, Smith and Jones.
Have you ever seen not the 9 o'clock news?
They were on that too.
Yeah.
That's what they. That was the first break with. I think they were writing with
Rowan Atkinson and Pamela Stevenson.
Pamela Stevenson.
Yes, that was it.
With and, a little bit of Billy Connolly thrown in. Yes.
Which wasn't a bad thing.
No.
No, not at all.
If you have someone thrown into that, yeah. Billy Connolly, it's a good name to have.
Lillian Robin says, I got a new flavour of Pringles last week, scorching cheddar.
Oh, either wants to try, though. Oh,
I've got a message come up on my phone.
Oh. Yes, it was Kirby saying he had to step away.
Yeah, you've upset him, that's why. Right then, so, Ben, you've got some stuff.
Take up his scuba gear.
It's scooping. Ben, you've got some blurb to read. I have got a special piece of music to accompany it.
Have you? Before I start, though, Adam...
What?
Two things. Firstly, I'm just going to have a quick swig of my drink.
Lovely.
Ben does a good job.
No, I was about to do something like that. You just ruined my gag.
No, it wasn't your gag, because I took about 5 minutes finding this piece of music. Oh dear, it's a bit loud, isn't it?
I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it?
Anyway, I'd just like to say that half time we did reviews, and I've been relegated from the top table. It's very nice to be back on top of the Premier League, just like Man United will be after we've signed Cristiano Ronaldo. Anyway, here we go.
Not the best of segues there, but I'll let it ride. Carry on.
But thanks, Adam. That means a lot coming from you. The Doctor gets a kebab or the Amazing Spider-Man.
Dear 20 megabyters.
Hold on. Who's doing this, Dad? don't make me come over there. I really don't want to come over there. Dear 20 megabyters, The Runaway Bride is, of course, a closely studied cautionary tale about workplace romances and the real danger that your potential spouse may end up being found to be working for a wildly over-the-top alien mega spider. I say tell that to my parents who met in the late 50s working for British Rail and a couple of weeks ago celebrated 60 years of marriage. Neither of them have been found to be working for any sort of aliens yet. I'll keep you posted on that. Isn't it good, by the way, to see the good old British Rail logo back?
Is it? Oh, good. I like the British Rail logo.
That reminds me of being on trains with my big brother when we were young.
Sadly reminds me of a little bit of Jimmy Savile, because he used to do those blooming adverts for British Rail. But never mind. Carry on.
Now then, young man, you leave it there. It should be... I'll just move swiftly.
Very, very swiftly.
Swiftly on.
Yes.
Unfortunately, one good impression is Jimmy Savile.
I
don't get a lot of work anymore.
Need to work on that one.
I don't know why.
You didn't do a bad one of Fluff Freeman, did you? That was quite a good one.
It should be noted that whilst some might say...
Hang on, I didn't get the timing right on that one.
No. If you're going to do it, you've just got to clip him saying some might say...
Yeah, well, I've only just found the song and I haven't edited that bit in yet, so you'll have to wait for next time.
Tell you what, should we just put the greatest hits on and we'll come back after that and then I'll carry on with the review.
Yeah, no, I'll carry on.
It should be noted that whilst some might say the Doctor overreacts in his vengeance against the Queen of the Arachnos, many of us find it difficult not to react out of proportion to any common house spider we happen upon. I, for one, treat anything larger than half an inch as being the size of a Labrador.
That's true.
Yeah.
We also learn that the Thames barrier is unnecessary, as we can just pull the plug any time to drain away any potential flood. Also, it's okay to rob banks.
Yes.
That's a point.
All in all, the Runaway. Well, that's the thing, you see, because as was pointed out, this was a Russell T. Davis and Stephen Moffat affair, and so therefore there's got to be some crap in it, isn't it? All in all, The Runaway Bride is better on rewatch than it was on its original broadcast.
This is principally.
I don't like being interrupted. Who interrupts people on this podcast? Oh no, I've just realised I've forgotten to water my grass. I don't know why, I might have to pop off and do that in a sec. It's getting quiet. I've just put some new grass seed down and I forgot to water it. Anyway, this is principally because of the largely cartoonish portrayal of Donna reflected in the script here. Lacks the bedding in you might expect, but this is later very well achieved on her return for a full series. Within this tale, it is difficult to care much about Donna, and therefore her pronouncement about the Doctor not traveling alone at the end lacks the impact it perhaps should have. The story is good with an ambitious monster, but although we could be cautious about fooling it far in places, it may be that Russell T. Davis's tendency towards
nice save. I've got to remember that trick.
That Russell T. Davis' tendency towards a
catastrophic.
That's the word they are. Catastrophical.
It says
catastrophe.
Trophic and
catastrophic.
Catastrophical.
No, it says quite clearly tendency toward catastrophe. Tendency toward catastrophe. Inflation. What a bloody mouthful.
Who's reading this?
I'm trying to help Ben out here.
Cartography?
Cartography, yeah,
is he a
cartographer?
Catastrophe, inflation, Jesus. I now can't say the word. Inflation is starting to get. I literally cannot say it.
Can you imagine this? If you'd been on the radio and you were reading the news out live, and that word appeared in that bit of text that you had to read out live.
Catastrophe, inflation, catastrophe.
To me, I'll read it.
It's my false teeth. It's starting to get a little out of hand by this point. The thing is, when people say that on the radio, I forgot to put my teeth in. Sometimes I do forget to put my teeth in. I was once, mate. But I had teeth. God. I'm so sorry, Sue.
Sorry.
I hope this doesn't stop Mr. Alan T. Butcher, Councillor Alan T. Butcher, sending in feedback. That's what Ben's for. It's because Robert keeps interrupting. I'm going to blame Robert. Where's Robert's time for blame?
Really,
Robert. There we go.
It's kind of my fault for not being able to say catastrophe.
You said it.
Why don't I get one?
Oh, you want one as well, dear? Okay, fine. There you go.
Anyway, this can all be lost in the edit. The one that will happen when I say four words in a second. Make sure it's edited. This story is good with an ambitious monster, but although we should be cautious about calling it far-fetched in places, it may be that Russell T. Davis's tendency towards catastrophe inflation is starting to get a little out of hand by this point. Where's my round of applause for that?
I didn't know I was supposed to do one. Can I do this instead?
All right.
I should have had a hallelujah. I really should have had a hallelujah there. What this story certainly succeeds with is to wash clear a good deal of the romanticism and sorrow of the recent departure, setting up a new start in which it will not be forgotten, but does not need to drag down the weekly narrative. The story is perhaps 13 episodes too short, as the benefit of seeing the full series with her in it was much delayed. Next up, Doctor Who and the Mobile Hospital, or Enter the Rhino... Oh, jeez, I've done it again. Enter the Rhinocerine Star Cops. Rhinocerine Star Cops.
Rhinocerine.
No, I don't think they come from the planet Rhinocerine.
No, it doesn't say... No, he's right. He's written down Rhinocerine.
New alien.
You'll have to correct him on his vernaculars there.
What are you saying it is?
He's written... Rhinocerine. Debbie says it's right because Debbie's intellectual, you see, so she's probably right.
Yeah, but Alan T. Butcher. Is
Alan T. Butcher is I bow to his linguistics.
Do you know what we'll have to do one of these days? Get Alan T. Butcher on and have a boffin-off quiz between him and Debbie.
No, what we should do is get that what's her name, Susie Dent, off Countdown. Yeah. And that way... We can find out which words are actually right that we're using and which ones we're making.
Yeah. That'll make this bit of music appropriate.
I'm also playing blind because obviously I'm not seeing the script, so why
not? Yes, that is fair enough, Debbie, but there is also then the thing to bear in mind that if you can't see what you're arguing against, it may not be a good idea to argue.
No, I know, but I just thought the word was rhinocerian.
And I accept that, I do, because I haven't got a clue what it is, so I'm literally just reading what's in front of me.
Beam me up.
Anyway, can I finish?
Bye.
Shall I finish?
Yeah.
Where's Kirby?
Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher. Yeah. That was the longest one ever. That must have gone on for about half an hour.
That was like 5 minutes ago. This is not back yet.
You know what? You know what? I'll be honest, right?
I've said several things.
We didn't hear you.
Said several things. I love it.
Adam, when you normally send me this via, yes. I normally read through it a couple of times.
Yeah, you,
and
you didn't bother this
one,
time,
and
did you?
I read through it once or twice, and I thought, that will be easy.
Yeah. I do that.
Well done,
Ben. If I read it ahead of time, I never get it right.
Right, amazingly, you managed to get through the feedback section. We've got some stuff coming through on the live feed. Lillian Robbins says, not the best of segues, like the ones from the story. Alan T. Butcher says, taking the catastrophe inflation quite a reading.
Someone's setting off fireworks outside.
Notice I said it correctly there, Councillor Butcher. And then he says, I made
right
up
on the 19th attempt.
His explanation for the potential mispronunciation. I made up rhinocerine, but seems good to me as neologisms go. Neologism.
There you go.
That's a made-up word, in other words.
Is neologisms a way to make it work?
Neo meaning new.
I'll go and get Isla. She's even better than I am at this sort of thing.
Oh, dear.
Well, D is for dinosaur.
A is for aardvark. Sorry, I'm heading down the Blackadder 3 road now. Anyway, Doctor Who news.
Mermaids live in.
Doctor Who news. Before we go on to Doctor Who news, we talked about the what's happened since we were last on. ABBA have got back together. There's been a trailer for the forthcoming Spider-Man movie, which looks bloody amazing. And I was in the cinema yesterday watching Shan Thingamajig and the Ten Rings of Whatchamacallit. even though the title's a bit long and unpronounceable, it's a bloody good film. It's one of the best Marvel films I've seen.
The thing is, no one knows what it's called. Yes. It's really hard to tell your friends.
Sean Thingamajig and the Ten Rings of what you call it. I'm sure Kirby knows the actual title.
Sure, Taylor.
I remember that it exists, but no, I don't know the title. Oh, I can get it.
I can get it as well. I've got a computer in front of me, funny enough, so let's see if I can.
So finally.
Right, Sean Thing.
I've got three.
Sean Thingamajig. I'm going to put down Ten Rings. Ten Rings.
Mortal Men.
It's called Ten Rings for sure. I'll call it Ten Rings then. But it's actually called Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Right, I can highly recommend that film.
I'm not going into any theatres until this pandemic is over.
Okay. Do you know what?
It'll be a long while.
I know, and I've got three things. I've got three things booked now. I'm going to see a tribute act to Eric and Ern, Morphin and Mons.
Oh, that looks good.
Which we were due to see 3 days before first lockdown in 2020, and we were me and my mate, because we bought our birthdays are 2 weeks apart, and we bought each other a ticket to go and see it just before it was on, and so basically we're going to go and see it next week after next. And we've given each other another birthday present since we've had our birthday.
Time.
Yeah, and I'm still a little bit unsure about going because it's still a little bit scary. And then I've got, I'm going to see the Fratellis in Southampton this Saturday night. You know, the Fratellis, who did Chelsea Dagger. They've done so many more brilliant things. And a new album, by the way, which is called Half Drunk Under a Full Moon. I know this isn't a music podcast, love, but it's the best album I've heard so far this year. It is fantastic. And on the back of that, I did a little bit of research, and they're playing down in Southampton on Friday
well
night.
Well done for getting that ticket, one.
£11.
Well, we do you remember I might have mentioned a while back that my friend in Wales, Ian, he lives down the road where the 10th Doctor got shot by the Dalek and ended up doing a semi-regeneration.
You may have mentioned it before.
He, before the lockdown, was absolutely thrilled to bits and excited because he got tickets to see the Eagles in Cardiff.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, so hopefully, finally, we're going to get to go and see Morecambe and Wise. And, yes, I got the Fratellis this week, which is in a little club in Southampton that is a little bit scary because I'm still a little scared about all this. And then, yeah, now I've booked to go and see ABBA next year as well, but that's quite a lot. And I've got a holiday before that as well, hopefully. So by that point, it should hopefully all be gone. But, yeah, scary. I'm not
here before you know it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a risk, isn't it? But I suppose you have to take risks in life. Life and Legacy of Verity Lambert is a book by Richard Marsden coming out, if you want to read a bit about a biography of Verity. I'm sure that'd be quite interesting, actually. Blackpool Revisited is an e-book. Look at the history of the famous Doctor Who exhibitions at Blackpool, there aren't any. What, the book? Which one?
It's a Blackpool one that's free.
It doesn't say you have to pay for it.
It's a companion one to another one that was...
Drama and Delight, the various Lambert book, I don't think that's free.
Yeah, that's the old
it's
one.
It's quite possible that the Blackpool Revisited one might be, because I think it could be downloadable. Yeah, it says, the book and its predecessor are downloaded from...
That's what I
meant.
Oh,
so what's the difference between this one and the one that I downloaded like 2 years ago?
Well, I would imagine
it's
that's the predecessor.
Probably.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think people have added photos and stuff.
Yeah, there's probably people have contributed their own bits. I should have done that. I've got loads of pictures from when we went to the, just before it closed it. There's a new load of books called...
It looks like, from the pictures I've seen and the layout of the exhibition, it looked like it was pretty small.
It was, but it was charming as well. There's a new load of books called The Benton Files coming out. Surprise, featuring... Benton, or Mr. Benton, or Sergeant Benton, or whatever
Captain Benton.
Whether Benton he was going to be,
or something.
But
promotion, not a rise.
Yeah,
but there's an audiobook version.
We've probably got a rise at the same time. You know?
Yes, thank you.
Not necessarily. It's the British Army.
Yes, thank you. There's an audio version read by that complete lunatic, John Levine, and Vorp issue 4 is also out. Doctor Who magazine 568, which you can get from whowon.co.uk, featuring William Hartnell.
Is it whowon.co.uk?
And it says it rather inappropriately, in my view. Highlights of the new issue include showrunner Chris Chibnall. Sure, that would be a low light.
Hiss.
I'll not be buying that issue then. If that's one of the highlights, and then it says Tom Baker to record two new scripts. We're going back in time because that's already been read by us on the Doctor Who news feed. That's about it. We did have a bit of a discussion, me and Robert Vence Jr., when they talked about the 13th Doctor's regeneration in the centenary special next year. He said, surely, don't they mean in the 60th anniversary? And I said, well, no.
It's the
next year's the centenary of the BBC, so that's why it's a centenary special. Don't get confused between the anniversary of the BBC itself.
They heard it pretty rubbish.
And there was a thing, because somebody said, was it some friend of the show, Billy Kirkbright, who said that they should axe Doctor Who because it's so bad? And I argued the point that that's not...
I said that.
That is not a reason to axe Doctor Who. That's to do with writing, not to do with the show itself. And my point was that Big Finish is a vat of really good stories, whether it's audio or not, it doesn't matter. It's good storytelling. Surely, if those stories are told really, really well, somebody can write for Doctor Who for the television very, very well.
I'm sure they want to, but they're not given the chance.
Yeah.
They need to actually lift some from Big Finish and turn them into...
Maybe so, but there's no reason to axe Doctor Who, because currently it's written by a bunch of donuts. It just needs to be written by... Yeah. People who know what they're doing, basically, and run by people who know what they're doing. The show itself is perfectly all right.
Can I ask something then?
You're asking me. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Your best opinion, because I think that Doctor Who should be run by somebody who's not a fan.
I agree. As long as it's somebody who knows
somebody
what they're doing.
Somebody who can write good stuff. I mean, make good drama, etc. You know, not...
Yeah. As long as they know what they're doing. That's what I said. It can be a Doctor
Who
fan.
Yeah.
Russell T. Davies is a Doctor Who fan. But what they need to be is just somebody who knows how to write bloody good stories and to produce a television programme to a very high standard.
Do you know what I think it actually needs? Is in football...
Stephen Moffat.
No, right. No, I'll use football or soccer or kickball, as some people in America call it, as an example. Right?
Yes.
Or goal ball or PK ball or whatever you call it.
Okay.
Right, so you've got the manager who manages the team, right? Now, in the olden days, the manager used to buy the players, right? But these days, a lot of clubs have a director of football who oversees the manager and buys the players, right? So what Doctor Who needs is someone above the showrunner who can look at it from an objective point of view and say, actually, no, that's good, that isn't. You might be a fan, you can go this direction, but what we need is an outside voice who's going to say, actually, that might be what the story is, but that doesn't make good television. This is what will make good television. Use this kind of, and so it needs an outside voice.
Yeah, well, somebody who's produced a really good series on BBC, ITV, or Channel 4 or whatever that isn't necessarily got a connection to writing for Doctor Who, but just knows how to create stories and how to direct and produce a TV series, because there's plenty of really good series out there.
Yeah, just because you've produced one good series on a different TV channel and then went on to do another series of the same program, which was actually quite rubbish, then do they even try a third one of Broadchurch? I can't remember. Did they do series 3?
They did three.
Series two was pretty poor, really. Mm. And, you know, it was like flash in the pan.
I think I should write it, apparently.
Yeah, well, I'd probably do a better job.
Kind of worse job, yeah. Word bingo, Adam. Word bingo.
Yeah.
No one's read my writing, Isla, and I don't think they ever will. That's it.
Debbie, I wasn't being derogatory. I was just saying that you probably would do a better job.
No, I'm just saying Isla's going on about how brilliant I am, and it gets very annoying.
Isn't it nice to be appreciated by your daughter?
It will not continue. It will stop at some point.
If I were you, I'd lap it up. I'd milk it for all you can at the moment.
Nice, really. How aren't you?
Ever so fleeting. It's not annoying to get compliments off your kids because it doesn't last very long.
No, it really doesn't. And it's amazing because one of my daughters is away today, but I got some text messages off her after I told her we got the ABBA tickets. And my young daughter, who normally sits on the sofa all day and does absolutely nothing, actually talked to me and was happy to be here today because I bought her an ABBA ticket. I don't know what it was. I mean, is there a connection between the two? I'm not sure, but...
Yeah. Yes, I was trying to think of an example.
That could be dangerous.
What could be dangerous? Me thinking.
Thinking.
Mm. Just trying to think of an example of somebody who has been... Oh, yeah, John Favreau from the Marvel Universe. I know he's never going to come to that too, but he's got the magic of understanding
how to
make a story and how to make characters appealing. He can't be the only person in the world who's got that ability.
They should hire the writers of the Dynasty spin-off, the Colbys, who finished it by Fallon getting taken away by a spaceship.
Have
you never seen it?
Yes, I have, but yeah, that's not going to work, is it?
They should totally do that because they've obviously got science fiction right down. They know what they're doing, so I'd run with those. They would run with those guys.
Right.
I love the way they just completely forgot about it afterwards as well. She got taken away by a spaceship, and then when Dynasty came back and she came back into it, there was no mention of the fact that she was taken away by a spaceship. You'd have thought she'd have told someone.
Yeah, anyway.
I mean, Joan Collins was all ears in those days. She'd have listened.
Christmas is coming, everyone. Whowon.co.uk have got the 2022 Doctor Who annual coming.
No.
Yeah, so if you want to get the 2022 Doctor Who annual, I imagine these annuals for the current ones are actually going to be worth something in the future at some point, because they won't be that
many. How long's an annual last for?
What? Well, the annuals.
I've still got annuals from about 20 years ago.
Mm. Clone Masters. Clone Masters is a story of... Oh, Blake Seven's story.
I've got a 2015 one.
Early Adventures After the Daleks.
1966.
Who is that? I'm trying to see who's on the cover.
Oh, it's a Susan... 2013 one, too.
Do you remember when Susan got left behind by the Doctor in Dalek Invasion of the Earth
2021? Well, I'm sorry, Robert, that's tops.
I have the power because I have the microphone. Yeah, so that story is set after the Daleks. That's hence the title, After the Daleks. That sounds quite interesting. That. Starring Carol Ann Ford as Susan and whoever she married as Tyler. Early Adventures 7.2, Secrets of De Sen, which is a first Doctor story. Shut up, you. And Empire of the Shadows by James Goss, Torchwood story. Evil of the Daleks DVD reconstruction with animation. Gods of Phantoms by Mark Platt. Lady Christina II. I don't think that doesn't appeal to me at all. I'm Madame. Torchwood story and Ninth Doctor. Yeah, I know.
Maybe you could have held back the Thames from going down that hole.
And Ninth Doctor Adventures Respond to All Calls. All these are available to pre-order from whowon.co.uk. Products that UK Ball Callers currently available and brand new are Bessie Come Home, which is CD.
Adam, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Hello, Mary.
I wanted to jump in when you were naming the Torchwood Big Finish story, the I'm Madam.
I'm Adam, but you're Mary.
Oh, the comedy here.
Remember Adam from Dalek, the assistant?
Yes,
to
I do remember, yes.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry, wrong track. There is a character called Adam in the Torchwood TV series that fools everybody, and this is a resurrection of him.
Oh, okay.
For anyone who saw the Torchwood TV series.
All right, okay.
Yes,
Their finger on the pulse.
He makes you forget, you know, what your problems are and takes you somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He supposedly dies at the end of that episode, but this brings it back, and it's really well done.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to watch Torchwood again.
Yes, stuff, isn't that whiskey?
Mary, was that the first series of Torchwood or the second?
Yes, it was the first series.
Yeah, that was a really good series, that.
TV, yeah.
Anyway, Bessie Come Home is Stephanie Cole reads a brand new story featuring the Doctor's trusty car, Bessie. And then, of course, you get the companions for the Fourth Doctor, Sarah Jane, Romana 1 and 2, in 5-inch figure form. Doctor Who Atlas, that's a book for Kirby, I think.
Atlas?
Doctor Who Atlas. It's a travel through time and space like never before in this stunning guide to the worlds of Doctor Who. That's one for you to get then, Kirby. You probably know everything that's already in it anyway, but nice sort of to be able to prove them right or wrong.
Well, you can't
remember
the stories where the TARDIS took off.
Friend and Foes of the 13th Doctor set. These are figures, of course, the Daleks, are various. And the Great and Very Charming set, which is the Second Doctor and TARDIS, and they've made the TARDIS look old and battered like it did in the 1960s. Anyway, so lots of these things are available at whowon.co.uk. Lavazzi.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
I think it's whowon.co.uk.
Lavazzi have a blog for fan fiction and stuff. Just well, I didn't send any of my stuff to them. Cause
is that whowon.co.uk?
Yeah. you can get scarves, for Fourth Doctor style scarves. And I'm hoping they've got some new ones.
Oh, like the one I've
Crimbo.
Got here?
What?
Probably exactly the same, Kirby.
Fourth Doctor style scarf from Lavarzi, like the one I
have. And it really works well on audio.
What does?
Yeah,
showing a scarf.
No, I'm not showing it. Oh, I see. He's showing
it. Kirby.
Yeah. Oh, sadly, they've got the 2021 diary still available. I think that's probably a bit superfluous at this stage, but you never know. If you have a TARDIS, you'll probably find it quite useful.
Yeah.
So there you go.
The episode in Torchwood that this is a reprise to is actually in the second series, and it's called episode is called Adam.
Good title. Okay. IWHeroes.co.uk. Now we bought Isabella bought a Loki figure.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
A Loki, IWHeroes.co.uk. Now, Isabella bought a Loki Funko Pop from there, but they've also got the new forthcoming Spider-Man characters and, of course, the what's his name again? Oh, Doctor Strange. Have they got the Doctor Strange from Spider-Man, the Spider-Man film that's... Anyway, go to iwheroes.co.uk where you can see some cool stuff.
iwheroes.co.uk.
Right, I've nearly come to... Let's see, I think...
Fifth episode, Mary.
Mary, I'm sorry, what? Mary, that was a Star Trek story, Mary.
Which episode?
Fifth.
What?
Adam is the fifth episode.
Oh, right, okay. Am I?
Torchwood, yeah. Okay.
Right. I have got a job next week, but it won't impact on me. Well, maybe it will. I don't know. I think I might have. Yeah, I don't think I can do it next week, I'm afraid, guys.
All right. 2 week break.
But, yeah.
Wait, did you say we're not doing it next week?
I can't do it next week. I've got a job on. But I haven't got any jobs for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Okay, your birthday. That's enough.
Well, you won't be doing it on the 5th of December because that's your birthday.
I'll tell you what, Adam, you really don't nick that diary for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I haven't got, after this week, I haven't got anything on a Sunday to stop me from podcasting. So won't that be such a relief to the world of podcasting that we can do a show quite regularly?
Like Sunday.
Consecutively.
Yes, indeed. But next time we'll be talking...
Why would I not do it on my birthday? I don't really celebrate my birthday.
Okay. Well, you'll be doing it on your birthday then. Woohoo.
Yes, so, I will.
Good.
Excellent. Right, anyway,
I think about that.
Next time in 2 weeks...
I'm getting too old. I'm
bored on my birthday, I think.
Next time, we'll be discussing... what is it called? Smith and Jones?
Yes.
The first.
Yes.
Yeah, Smith and Jones. Rather than Alas Smith and Jones or Alias Smith and Jones of similar titles.
That will be on the 19th.
Yes.
Of September.
Yes.
I hope so.
And then the onslaught as we continue the David Tennant era, probably for the rest of the year, because there's a lot more episodes and stories of Tennant. I thought we'd be on to Matt Smith by the end of the year, but I think we've still got quite a lot of Tennant left to do.
And we have an entire series of whinging.
Yeah, God.
Whinging?
God help us.
Yeah.
Rose, poor Rose. I lost Rose.
Ignore it and just enjoy the story.
Yeah, people hate the Martha era because they think it's Martha. It's not her. It's him and how he ignores her and whines all
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, this is, this is a Russell T. Davis era, and I can hear people starting to whinge about Russell T. Davis, which happened while we're still in the era, and now we wish we had him back, to be fair.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, until next
time. Not so much.
Until next time, thank you for listening, taking part in the show. Please continue to do so. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Scarecrow.
Bye.
You are the dancing queen.
Young and sweet, only 17.
Master.
What?
I forgot to ask you to check your recording level.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an ABPC Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance, sponsored by whoone.co.uk
and lavazi.co.uk
and iwheroes.co.uk.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation.
No copyright infringement intended.